Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang. Last week, we kicked off this three-part mini-series on the inner loop, the transformation rhythm at the heart of Lead to Scale. We talked about aware, the diagnostic stage where you name reality without shame. And if you listened to that episode, you probably had some moments of clarity. Maybe you identified a blind spot. Maybe you realized your team's dynamics aren't what you thought. Maybe you diagnosed where your organization really is in its life cycle. But here's the hard truth. Awareness without action creates anxiety. Once you see clearly, you can't unsee. You now know what's broken. You now know what needs to change. And if you don't do something about it, that knowledge becomes a burden. That's why today we are talking about aligned. The design stage of transformation. This is where awareness becomes architecture, where diagnosis leads to new rhythms, new agreements, new structures that make transformation sustainable. Because you can't will your way into new patterns. You have to build rhythms that make the new way easier than the old way. Let's get into it. Let me start with a quote that's become central to how I think about alignment. Alignment isn't compliance. It's covenant. Most leaders hear the word alignment and they think getting everyone on the same page, making sure they do what they're told, eliminating dissent. But that's not alignment. That's control. Real alignment is about shared commitments and operating rhythms that make transformation sustainable. It's not about forcing anyone to agree. It's about creating structures that support who you're becoming as a leader, as a team, and as an organization. Here's the problem most leaders face. They have great awareness, but no traction. They know what's wrong, but they can't change it. They have strategic plans that never get executed. Why? Because they haven't built the rhythms that carry the change. They're trying to white-knuckle transformation. They're relying on willpower and good intentions, and that just doesn't work. You can't will your way into new patterns. You have to build rhythms that make the new way easier than the old way. And that's what alignment does. So today, I want to show you what alignment looks like at three different levels. The lead stage is alignment for the individual leader, the growth stage, alignment for the team, and the scale stage, which is alignment for the organization. And by the end, you'll understand why awareness without alignment is just expensive self-awareness. Let's start with you. If you're in the lead stage, whether you're a founder, a new executive, or a leader stepping into a bigger role, alignment starts with building your personal operating system. Not just good intentions, actual structures that make transformation sustainable. Because here's what I've learned coaching leaders. Most transformation efforts fail not because leaders don't know what to do, but because they don't build the rhythms to sustain it. They get awareness, they get excited, they make commitments, and then life happens. Pressure increases, old patterns reassert themselves, and 6 weeks later, they're back where they started. So at the lead stage, alignment is asking, what rhythms will reinforce the identity I'm becoming? What practices will keep me grounded when pressure increases? Who has permission to tell me the truth or no? What am I building into my schedule that protects my soul? Let me give you an example from my own journey. I am a recovering workaholic. I'm an Enneagram type 8, which means I default to intensity, control, and pushing harder when I'm stressed. For years, I told myself I'd slow down, I'd set boundaries, I'd protect margin, but I never built the rhythms to sustain it. And then a few years ago, everything came crashing down. My wife had a health crisis. We were fostering kids, my business was growing, and I was running on fumes. I knew I needed to change, but knowing wasn't enough. So I built rhythms. I blocked out Fridays for strategic work. No client calls, no meetings. There are the rare exceptions. I started every morning with scripture and prayer before I touched my phone. I scheduled quarterly retreats with myself for myself to step back and assess. Finally, I joined a peer group where other leaders could speak into my life, and that really has been life-changing. I didn't rely on willpower. I built structures that made the new way the default. And that's what changed everything. So how do you build alignment at the lead stage? Here's a few key structures. Morning rhythm, number one, how you start the day shapes how you lead. What are the first things you put in your mind, your body, and your schedule? Number two is a weekly review, a time to reflect on the gap between your intention and your action. Did I lead this week the way I said I would? Number three, quarterly reset, stepping back to see the bigger picture. Where am I? Where am I going? What needs to change? Number four, coaching or peer community. External perspective and accountability come through peers who know you well enough to call you out and cheer you on. And number five is a decision-making filter. You need clear criteria for how you'll make decisions that align with your values. What are your yeses? What are your nos? The outcome of this work is simple. You have a personal operating system, not just good intentions, but actual structures that make transformation sustainable. You're not white knuckling change. You're building rhythms that carry you. But alignment doesn't stop with you. It expands to your team. So once you've built personal alignment, the next level is team alignment. At the growth stage, you're not just asking, what rhythms will sustain me? You're asking, how will we work together? And this is where most teams get stuck because they assume that if everyone knows the goal, they'll naturally align to it. You know, like some sort of magic Mishka, Mushka, Mickey Mouse stuff. But that's not how it works. Shared goals don't create alignment. Shared agreements and operating rhythms do. Here's what I mean. A team can all agree that they want to grow revenue, but if they haven't agreed on how decisions get made, how communication flows, and who owns what, they'll work against each other. You'll have things like meetings that waste time because there is no clear decision-making process, projects that stall because responsibilities overlap and nothing gets owned, conflict that festers because there's no protocol for how disagreement gets processed. You can't align a team by hoping everyone figures it out. You have to design the operating rhythm. Let me give you a real example without naming the client. I worked with a leadership team that was talented, committed, and mission-driven, but they couldn't execute. Every week, they'd meet, they'd brainstorm, they'd leave with a list of action items, and then nothing would happen. Sound familiar? When I asked them to describe their meeting rhythm, here's what I found. No clear agenda, no decision-making framework, no follow-up between meetings, and no accountability for commitments made. They were meeting, but they weren't aligned. So we built a rhythm, starting with a weekly action meeting, or WHAM! You don't have to say it that way, but it's cooler if you do. Depending on what stage of development and growth you're at, these can be roughly 60 minutes, sometimes shorter if you're younger, could go up to 90, but that's usually like the cap. These weekly action meetings, or WHAMs, are for decisions, priorities for the weeks, and getting blockers resolved. Statuses do not belong in meetings, especially this one. Those can be moved to some sort of asynchronous update, that be it Slack or internal communication platforms that are used for that sort of thing. The second was the monthly operating review. So this is where we step back from execution to assess the trends. We process the health and the people dynamics because weekly is way too frequently to assess those things, but quarterly is a little too late if something is growing. So it's taking a pulse for a hot second there at the beginning of each month. And then we have the quarterly strategic reset, the QSR. This is where we're realigning the next 90 days to our annual objectives with space for formation, not just execution. Because who we're becoming is more important than what we're doing. And then finally, we have the one-on-one rhythms. Every team member had a consistent check-in with their manager to help them develop and help those managers lead more effectively. And we built in decision-making agreements. Who decides what and how? What's the escalation path when someone's stuck? How do we handle disagreement? This is where understanding leadership styles matter. Visionaries, operators, processors, and synergists all approach decisions differently. Without that awareness, you get gridlock. With it, you get speed and alignment. Within 90 days, everything changed. They weren't smarter, they weren't more talented, they just had shared agreements and operating rhythms that made alignment the default. That's the power of alignment at the growth stage. It shifts the team from hoping things work to designing systems that ensure they do. So how do you build team alignment? Here are some of the key structures. Number one, operating rhythm. A consistent operating rhythm that creates clarity without wasting time. Weekly, monthly, quarterly. Number two, decision rights. Clear agreements on who decides what and how. No more ambiguity about authority. Number three, communication norms. How information flows, what gets shared with whom, and how often. Role clarity. Everyone knows what they own. No overlap, no gaps. Assign work by wiring, not just hierarchy. Know what energizes each person versus what drains them. Conflict protocols. How disagreement gets processed. Challenger safety is where people can question the status quo without fear of retaliation. It's the foundation. Healthy teams don't avoid conflict. They process it well because it's safe to do so. The outcome? The team has a shared operating rhythm, not just individual commitments, but collective agreements about how they'll work together. They don't have to renegotiate basic processes every week. They can focus their energy on execution. But there's one more level of alignment, and it is the most complex. At the scale stage, alignment isn't just about you or your team or department. It's about the whole organization. You're building an operating rhythm that runs without the founder in every decision. A strategy cascade that connects vision to daily work. Culture reinforcement systems that ensure values get lived, not just stated. This is where scaling happens. Or it's where organizations hit a ceiling they can't break through. Because here's the truth. The strategy that got you here will not get you there. Most organizations grow by adding complexity, more people, more projects, more priorities. And that's not a bad thing. That's the fun stage in predictable success where everything just keeps piling on. But at some point, complexity becomes chaos. And if you don't build organizational alignment, you'll hit one of two problems. The first is a founder bottleneck. Every decision flows through the founder. Growth is limited by their capacity. Number two is organizational drift. People are doing things, but it's not clear how any of it connects to their mission, their vision, or their values. Organizational alignment solves both. It creates systems that enable mission-aligned growth beyond the founder's direct involvement. Let me tell you about a client who got this right. They were a nonprofit, rapid growth, multiple programs, staff stretched thin, founder making every decision. Again, sound familiar? The founder came to me and said, "I don't know how to scale this. I'm the bottleneck, but I don't trust anyone else to make the decisions I'm making." And I said, "That's because you haven't built the systems that would make you or allow you to trust them." So we built alignment. We started with the annual strategic retreat, or ASR. The leadership team sets the strategic direction together, not just the founder. We follow that up with a quarterly strategic reset, or QSR. Every 90 days, the team assessed progress against objectives. Assignments were made based on data, not the founder's gut. Then we added the monthly operating review. Cross-functional alignment at its finest. Every department head knew what the others were doing and how it all connected. Fourth, strategy cascade. We went mission, vision, and values to goals, to strategies, to tactics, to actions. Every staff member could articulate how their work connected back to the mission, vision, and values. And finally, a decision-making framework. Clear criteria for who decides what at what level. The founder didn't have to be in every decision because the framework guided it. Within a year, the founder stepped back from day-to-day operations. The organization didn't collapse. It thrived because the organization had an operating rhythm that scaled, not founder-dependent heroics, but structures that enabled mission-aligned growth. That's alignment at scale. It's building systems and rhythms that ensure the organization can function excellently even when the founder isn't in the room. So how do you build organizational alignment? Here are the key structures. We've already gone over these, but I'm going to drill it into your head until you're saying it in your sleep. First, the annual strategic retreat, strategic direction setting. Where are we going and why? Quarterly strategic reset, QSR, progress against objectives. Are we on track? Monthly operating review, cross-functional alignment. Is everybody rowing in the same direction? Strategy cascade. How does vision connect to daily work? Can everyone, and I mean everyone, articulate it? Communication architecture. How does information flow at scale? What gets communicated to whom? How often? The outcome? The organization has an operating rhythm that scales. Leaders can make decisions based on agreed upon frameworks, not just the founder or the most senior executive's instincts. And that is how you scale sustainably. So let's recap. Alignment at the lead stage is building a personal operating rhythm, structures and support systems that sustain your transformation. Alignment at the growth stage is building team operating rhythms, how decisions get made, how communication flows, and how work gets done together. Alignment at the scale stage is building an organizational operating rhythm, structures that enable growth beyond the most senior executive's direct involvement. Alignment is where awareness becomes architecture, but it is not the destination, because here's the hard truth. Alignment without accountability drifts. You can design beautiful rhythms, you can make sincere agreements, but without reinforcement, they fade. Entropy is real in physics and in organizations. What isn't reinforced reverts to the old pattern. This is why alignment must flow into accountable, the next stage of the inner loop. Accountable is where feedback loops and trust-based accountability keep transformation on track. Alignment builds the structure. Accountability keeps it standing. And that's what we're diving into next week, the inner loop deep dive of accountable. We're going to talk about how you build feedback loops that sustain your personal transformation, how you create a team culture of mutual accountability, and how you design organizational systems that reinforce alignment at scale. Because alignment is where transformation becomes possible, but accountability is where it becomes sustainable. Let me leave you with this. In Jeremiah 31, God establishes a new covenant with his people. He doesn't just give them new information. He establishes a relationship through agreements and then works within those agreements to bring transformation. That's alignment. God doesn't transform through information downloads. He transforms through relationship, safety, and sustained rhythms of practice. And that's true for you as a leader. It's true for your team. And it's true for your organization. You can't will your way into new patterns. You have to build rhythms that make the new way easier than the old way. So here's my challenge for you this week. Pick one level, lead, grow, or scale, and design one rhythm. At the lead level, what's one daily or weekly practice that would reinforce who you're becoming? At the grow level, what's one meeting rhythm that would create clarity without wasting time? Key difference there. At scale, what's one communication structure that would ensure alignment at scale? Just one rhythm, build it, test it, refine it. Because transformation doesn't happen through good intentions. It happens through designed rhythms. Next week, we'll close out this series with accountable, how you ensure that the rhythms you build actually stick. Until then, lead well, think deeply, and remember, you're not building your organization, you're stewarding God's assignment. And until next week, change the way you think, you'll change the way you do.